by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
Upon the stage, every foul wicked spirit is the host, the news.
20 minutes, Zadorove, on the news, spread out.
On the news, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right, it's Tuesday night, and it's time for the luminous edition of the Ooze. This is your host, Jason Sorrell, and we're going to be hitting a number of topics this evening, so tune in, hang on, and here we go. Obviously, you can tell by the, maybe you can tell, maybe not so obvious, but it's obvious to me. You can tell by the sound of my voice. I'm getting over a little something. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. been a little sick today, a little feverish and everything else, and been in and out. But I'm awake right now and ready to do the show, and I even had time to do a video today. And the video is related to kind of what we'll be talking about this evening, something we're going to open up the discussion with this evening. There's another call for unification in the left-hand path. And while this isn't unification necessarily in the way that it's been called upon before, it's not a unification of, you know, all people under one banner for the left-hand path or what have you. It's everybody's being called upon to basically on December 21st, 2012, to organize amongst themselves and with the intention that you make some noise. Somehow, some way, you let the world know that you are out there, that you are of the left-hand path, and that you exist, basically. And so it's kind of weird. I'm trying to get my head around it, basically, because I don't get it. I don't necessarily agree with the messages being put out there, and I'll be explaining that here in just a bit. For those of you who don't know, I'm assuming most of our audience is somehow related to or familiar with the idea of left-hand path or right-hand path spirituality. And these things mean different things to different people. They're terms that are kind of being thrown out there by some people as of major importance as an identifier. And some people are abandoning these terms altogether because one generally means that you are more altruistic and the other generally means that you are more selfish or pragmatic. But those definitions don't even hold water with a lot of people. A lot of people, left-hand path means, dark stuff or, negative stuff or whatever, and that's not entirely true either. So it kind of goes back and forth. So it's hard to say what left-hand path and right-hand path is. The person putting out this video goes by, let's see here, I'm trying to remember here real quick, it's Hexenhausen, what did he call himself initially? Wait, not Hexenhausen, and again, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling well, so I'm still trying to get myself together here. Anyways, I'll think of it, and Hexenhammer, that's Sticks, Hex and Hammer, 666. There it is. That's the YouTube channel that this video was put up. And somebody dropped a link in my inbox in my YouTube video or my YouTube account, the Ego Diablo 666 account. Don't go there because it's a defunct channel unless you want to look at some really old stuff and stuff that's not, it's a little bit relevant anymore, but it's not really, something that I'm into anymore. But anyways, this guy, he's calling for everybody who considers themselves in any way somehow part of the left-hand path. And he names a whole bunch of people, pagans, Wiccans, agnostics, atheists, people that, I don't think they identify with themselves as left-hand path. I think, a lot of Wiccans identify themselves as very right-hand path. They're very altruistic. If they even use that identifier, and it's really kind of, again, it's something that's becoming outmoded, this idea of left-hand path or right-hand path, for a lot of people, not for everybody. Some people are very much about it. But anyways, So this kid, he's calling for all of these different people, all these different groups to, on December 21st, 2012, to step out in some way, whether it's organizing in the streets, whether it's having a party, whether it's getting on the internet, making videos, making art, making music. All these people are supposed to go out in the world, and what he's doing basically is he's demanding equality and respect from the three major Abrahamic religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And that's pretty much it. This video that he did, that's pretty much all he's got going, is that he wants everybody to go, you know, hey, we're here, we exist. He wants to basically have a mass showing of numbers. And his thinking is that if enough people participate, if enough people say we exist and we're valid and we're for real right here, well, that means that the Christian religions, the Judaism and the Islamic faith, that those people in power are going to have to respect those numbers. Now, I don't know if this guy's looking around the world right now. Now, he considers these three major religions to be the source of power in the world, okay? These are the people that define things in our society. This may have been at one time true in different periods of our history as a species, but it's not true anymore today. And as I point out in my video, the people that are in power, they use religious identity as a matter of political expedience. It doesn't really matter what country you're in. I mean, let's look at the Saudi Arabia princes and kings, you know. It's wholly devout Muslims when they're in their own country, but when they're out of the country, they do whatever the hell they want. Christians every day here in the United States pay lip service to their religion, and, you know, if they go to church, going to church is the only time that they do anything actually Christian. In Judaism, you've got all kinds of different things going on with the faith, and, it's not where the power is, but it's definitely a foil. It's definitely a screen that's used by the folks that are in power. It's something for us to argue about. It's something for the workers, the drones, the people that aren't in the know to argue about and to war over, basically, to keep us distracted, to keep us from thinking about what's really going on. But anyways, which is nearly here, as I'm sure that's another for another show. This guy wants everybody that considers themselves left-hand path to get together on December 21st, 2012, and that's pretty much it. No real agenda. Other than, hey, we're here and we demand respect. And then think about these three religions, these major religions. Have they been in the game of validating other religions? Have they been in the game of giving respect to other religions? I don't think so. I think for the majority of their history, they have been very opposed to the idea of validating and paying respect to other religions, especially religions that were, you know, the folks consider themselves witches or Satanists, the things that are opposed to many of those religious ideas. And if you think, you know, you're going to have these get together on December 21st, 2012, so you get 10,000 people or whatever together to do this. Like, say it's really successful. All these different people come out and make December 21st, 2012 the day. It's left-hand path recognition day or whatever the hell it ends up being called. Let's say they do come out. It's not like the Islamic faith, the Islamic faith is going to go, okay, well, you know what? There's so many of them. Maybe we should acknowledge them and respect them. No, bullshit. They're not acknowledging or respecting their own sect within their religion, let alone other religions. And it goes the same for, it's not just the Islamic faith that does that. It goes the same for the Christians. I mean, here in the United States, we got, you know, Tea Party kooks that are extremely on the right end of the scale who, if it were up to them, everybody would be forced to go to church. Everybody would be forced to, you know, to follow whatever religious thing they've got. They have no religious tolerance. So, you know, demanding or asking for religious tolerance, that's another thing I found funny about this whole thing, the idea of unification, left-hand path, these people, what they want to do. They're going to go to the people that they believe have power and ask those people that have power for respect. They're going to ask those people that have power for equality. You know what? If you've got to ask for equality, if you have to ask for respect, you don't deserve it. If you think just a show of numbers is going to get you respect, if you think just a show of numbers will get you equal treatment by those who oppose you, by your enemies, you're wrong. You're dead fucking wrong. And what's even odder, I guess, about this entire thing is that people of the left-hand path, in particular, I would say Satanists, so those people who are supposed to be, I don't know, individually thinking, pragmatic, self-responsible, that kind of thing, okay? They don't really dig the whole getting together under one banner thing. They typically don't do that, although a lot of people are talking about it. A lot of people, you know, want to have some sort of movement as a whole. But as far as this whole equality thing, most Satanists see the whole equality thing as a sham. Rises to its own level. So whatever level you rise to, whatever you're willing to go out and get, that's what you deserve, that's what you earn. No one owes you anything. Equality, if you're going to get equal treatment, equal respect, well, then it's going to come from your own establishing that you are at least equal to the people around you. And for most Satanists, it's not a matter of going, you know, you're not going for mediocrity. You're not going for, I'm just as good as everybody else. No, you're going for better. And, you know, looking at the examples in the satanic community, I know it's hard to imagine that with some of the people that are rolling around and everything else. But that's the spirit of what's going on there. So that's what caught my attention today, and I did a video on that. The video is, you know, it's on the Jason Sorrell channel. It's on YouTube. So if you just, you know, search the with a capital T, Jason with a capital J, Sorrell, all ran together as one word, no spaces. You'll find me and you'll find that video and the channel that I'm actually using now and then, which I haven't posted anything other than this video in a long time. And you'll be able to check out my video and read what, you know, or listen to what I said or view what I had to say or whatever. It's YouTube. It's, you know, like television on your computer and stuff. And obviously, I'm not feeling too well right now, but we're getting through this. Left-hand path immunity. All right. As I just mentioned, these folks, the left-hand path, they tend to be focused on the self. The majority of the people that I've at least encountered who have identified themselves in that way. So I can't say that this is true for all people who identify themselves somehow as left-hand path. But for many of the people that I've run into that I've discussed left-hand path things with, those people have been more about, you know, what am I going to do? What are my strengths? What's my ability to make my will manifest, that kind of thing. They prefer not to rely on other people. They prefer not to rely on unifying or having to work with others to accomplish their goals, which can be a strength or a weakness in the left-hand path. In the right-hand path, that's one of the earmarks of the right-hand path, that while you should be hard-charging and chugging along and doing as much as you can for yourself, you also have the option of relying on others. You are to reach out to others for not only your needs, but also to help one another out. So when you talk about the left-hand path unifying under one banner, and the guy that posted this video, this six hex and hammer 666 dude, that posted this video, even you know, talks about how in the comments in this video, initially he says, you know, we're talking about, you know, educating people about the left-hand path, or rather, all the different kinds of left-hand path. So basically, you're going to be talking about, you know, here's all these different personalities in a schizophrenic. Here's all these different people, you know, different kinds of people and everything else, and all their little different views and everything. And, it, you know, it's like, okay, it's being aware of alternative religion, basically. So other people have called for unity in the left-hand path, and of course, other people, something that's not even worth discussing. And it's interesting every time it comes up. Usually it's one guy who, he's got a wild hair up his ass, basically. He's all hard charging about Satanism, or he's all hard charging about, you know, dark witchcraft, or whatever little bullshit, you know, identifier they're using. And he's all hard charging about it, you know what? And he's, you know, yeah, it's about individualism. Yeah, it's about going out and taking what you want. Yeah, it's about self-responsibility, self-indulgence. It's about doing what, being able to manifest my will. Yeah, 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 it's all that stuff. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk to other people about it. And I'm going to get all these people together, you know, because together we can do even more. Well, that may be true, but that's not the spirit of the philosophy that you're all excited about. So, you know, the unification thing has always kind of been shouted down by people who have been involved in the left-hand path in one manner or another, who have identified with the left-hand path for any period of time. So left-hand path, it's probably never going to happen, which is also probably why you see some folks who have identified themselves with the left-hand path for years, myself included, you know, T.C. Downey in a way, Only T.C. Downey, definitely others. Others who are starting to go, you know what, I'm not interested in that left-hand path identifier anymore because there's a part of me that sees there's some valid reasons for working with others. There's strength in numbers. There's some things that if the people are the right mind and are motivated and are ambitious, that if we work together, we can accomplish more. So there is that going on, but it's not defined by banners. It's not defined by any kind of somebody trying to lead a cult or anything else. And it's definitely not, defined by some kid who decides that, hey, today I'm really into Satanism and everything else, and I'm going to be the new, spokesperson for the newest movement that's going to bring us all together under one thing. It's just not going to happen. So that's pretty much all I have to say about left-hand path and unity, unless you want to call in. The number is 347-989-1371. And the reason I don't have a lot to say about it, other than this video, is it's been kicked to death. And I do mention in the video that this guy lacks an agenda, as I said. This guy lacks any kind of purpose behind, okay, we're going to get together, and it's about left-hand path awareness. So December 21st, 2012 is supposed to be left-hand path awareness day. Well, most people who consider themselves a member of the left-hand path could give a shit about whether or not somebody is aware of what it is they do and what they're about. As a matter of fact, most of them, or a good portion of them, would prefer that if people have some innate fear of the left-hand path, that fear remain in place because it's empowering for them. Okay, that's one of the things I got going, that's going for the left-hand path. Now, as far as unifying under one purpose and or one goal, I think this guy's missed the mark in a couple of different ways. And one of the ways I think he missed the mark is that, he's chasing after a religion. As I said earlier, it's a screen. It's a way for the people who broker power to get you to focus on something else, focus on something that's a non-issue. I mean, think about it. What we're talking about with religion, with the major religions, we're talking about who created the world and what happens to you after you die. How you conduct yourself while you're on the planet. In a lot of ways, these people agree. I mean, there's some issues. There's some different social issues and everything else. There's some different cultural issues. But generally, these three religions agree as to how you conduct yourself while you're interacting with other people of your faith on this world. So the disagreement is who's running shit after you die. Well, you know what? I'm here right now. How the fuck does that matter about what's going on? So this is how the people that broker power use religion as a screen, use it as a foil, use it as a lever to get the masses, the herd, to look the other way, chase in a different direction, to go after something else while they're busy doing whatever they do, which is why I said politicians use religion as it's politically expedient to say that you're a Christian here in the United States and you're going to get votes for saying that. Even if you do nothing that has anything remotely to do with Christianity, that's the way, if you identify yourself that way, well, you make yourself more like your voters, your constituents. Okay, so my point, my video was, if you're going to have an agenda, if you're talking about these people who broke a power, they're oppressing you somehow, that you are unequal, you're not equal, you're not getting the respect you should have because you identify with the left-hand path or whatever, well, maybe instead of begging for scraps from these people's table, maybe you should just turn your back on their system. Maybe you should just walk away from their game entirely. Who gives a shit if the Christians acknowledge the people of the left-hand path as legitimate? At the end of the day, does that really affect you? Is that really something you need to be concerned about? If they're oppressing you at work, you've got ways to deal with that. If they're oppressing you at school, there's ways for you to deal with that. And you can always leave those situations, or you can, you're probably better off leaving the situations. Turning your back on that makes more sense to me. Turning your back on that system is more left-hand path in my mind than asking to be an equal party to it, than asking for a seat at their table. Why would you want a seat at their table? Why wouldn't you go build your own house? So that was the gist of my video. Again, the number is 347-989-1371 if you want to call in. We pretty much talked that topic out. So we're going to move on to the next topic. We kind of touched on this, I think, the last show. And the last show, I called in late. I was hanging out with my 11-year-old. She was heading back to Fort Wayne the next day. Fort Wayne, Indiana, and just wanted to spend a little time with her, lost track of time, so we were kind of rushed through that show. So the next topic we're going to talk about, and we touched on this, is value structures. So what I mean by value structures, and again, if you want to call in, the number is 347-989-1371. What I mean by value structures, are the different things that we make our priorities, that we consider important as individuals, that we consider important as local communities, that we consider important as, you know, cities, states, countries, cultures, ethnic groups, things that we prioritize. And there are a whole bunch of things that should have value. There's a whole bunch of things that are necessary to pursue, that, you know, that are universal as far as, you know, our experience as human beings. That there are legitimate values, but there's the vast majority of our values are defined by other people, are defined by those influences I just mentioned, the societies we live in and their influence on us that defines our value structures. And because of our value structures, because of these things, these artificial values being defined for us, in many ways, many of the legitimate options we would have as far as seeing to our own needs, as far as sustaining ourselves, as far as our sense of identity, as far as our behaviors in our society, many of the avenues we could pursue as individuals, as free-thinking, intellectual, you know, free-wheeling, free-will individuals, you know, this freedom that we think we have, are not made available to us. Actually, there's a very narrow limit, a narrow bandwidth, basically, of things that you could choose to do and still be considered acceptable. And we have that urge, especially here in the U.S. We have that desire for acceptability. We have that need to keep up with the Joneses. We have that need to pursue the trends, to be engaged in whatever little, you know, conversations are going on. We want to fit in. We want to be a part of whatever party to whatever's going on. We want to be popular. Part of that is the whole, you know, you can be president when you grow up. You can be a rock star. You can be a sports star. You can be whatever you want to be. Well, you know, that requires some popularity. That requires some fame. And, you know, even in schools, even in elementary schools, I mean, you know, I got a daughter who's 6 years old. And, you know, I'm positive that if she were to find out that the students in her class didn't like her, even the boys for that day, if, you know, they didn't like what she was wearing that day, it would bother her, it would distress her, and it would make her change her behaviors. This is just the way we are. When we reach adulthood, though, part of our maturation should be the recognition that our value structures are artificial and that we have the option of defining those values for ourselves. We can make a choice. You know, that as adults, we've achieved maturity physically. We have whatever rights are given to us by law. We know the way to, you know, support, sustain ourselves. So does it matter what my coworker thinks of me? Does it matter what the guy down the street thinks of me? Does it matter what they think about what I'm doing or what I've got going on? As long as I'm not bothering them, as long as I'm not, you know, somehow disrupting their, you know, their pursuit of bliss or whatever, it shouldn't fucking matter what I do or what Joe the guy, you know, this guy does or that guy does. But because of our value structures, we police ourselves basically because of those values. Again, the people that tell us what it is we can or cannot do, part of what they've done to reinforce that is to make sure that, you know what, and if you see somebody not fitting in, well, then you can go ahead and make yourself look better by attacking those people for not sharing in the same value structure, value system that the rest of us do. You know, attack the alien thing, attack the foreign thing, make them a pariah until they conform, insist that they conform, okay? You're not allowed to have your own way of thinking. You're not allowed to have your own way of doing things. It just doesn't work in our society. And I think that if you're talking about a legitimate maturation, if you're talking about legitimate evolution of self, of the species, of whatever, one of the hurdles we have to get over is our value structures. One of the things we have to choose in our lifetime as individuals, and this is something that even I'm struggling with, is developing my own set of values, as opposed to, you know, following somebody else's values, as opposed to, you know, pursuing somebody else's, you know, idea of what's right or wrong. And this is going to be a horrible example, I know. But I think of Marilyn Manson when I think about this, his book, The Long Road Out of Hell. And basically, what Marilyn Manson is doing in this book, and it's a little early, I think, for a biography, but he writes this autobiography. And what he's doing, basically, is he's chronicling his departure from the standard value system, the standard value structures. He's engaging in all these things that he's been told all his life are negative, that they are not acceptable, that they are not valid. And he's, at least in this book, it seems that he was attempting to develop his own value structure, his own value system. Now, whether or not he actually achieved this, I can't say for sure with any certainty that that actually is the case. I don't think, you know, that is not the case at all. That in fact, he just ended up catering to somebody else's value systems as to, you know, what it is to be a shock rocker, what it is to be, you know, a rock and roll star, what, you know, whatever that is. He takes it to a different extreme, and that may be true. And I think that's part of the problem with the argument about value structures is, you know what, you could define your own value system, your own value structures, and end up creating a value structure that is just like what is expected and acceptable in our society. The difference being that instead of you just following along that program thoughtlessly, you've actually chose to engage in it. You know, why somebody would do that, I don't know, but that would be legitimate. So obviously, and this is something you can't necessarily judge other people for. You can't sit there and say to somebody else, you know what, you're not following your own value system. You're just going with the masses. Well, you know what, going with the masses might be what they value. Going with the masses might be the value structure they chose. And that should be legitimate. That should be fine. But I find myself thinking in a lot of ways and seeing in a lot of ways the barriers that are put in our lives, the barriers that are put in place that keep us going down a certain path, that keep us within a certain set of parameters that is predictable, that can be judged and counted upon. That's why these politicians, when we're talking about people in Washington, D.C., these politicians, they intend to spend money in advance of getting it, basically, is because they have models that predict the level of spending, what will be purchased, what can be taxed, that kind of thing. Their economic system doesn't account for one day everybody in the United States getting a real taste for grubs and stop eating beef and they start eating grubs. Well, grubs are free. Go dig them up out of the yard or whatever. And for whatever reason, that's the way the U.S. went. And all of a sudden, there's this food source that's not being taxed. They lose tax revenue. Their economic model doesn't account for that because the people that have been in power, the system that has been established. And there's nobody behind this. As I keep saying in other channels or other shows, other places, I don't believe that there's a person or a group of people or anything else behind this guiding us. I think this is just the system that developed. And then when you live within that system, even these politicians, if there's a model that seems to work more often than not, well, then you use that model to predict future behavior. And you do everything to encourage that people will follow along those predictions, that they'll act within those parameters. So, again, the number is 347-989-1371. If you want to call in, go ahead. If you want to be in the chat room, go ahead and do that too. And, if something catches my eye about something you've posted, I'll be happy to mention it. We're at the bottom of the hour, and this is the bottom of the hour where I normally, talk about what's going on with Satanic International Network, www.satanicinternationalnetwork.com. Satanic International Network is, again, a forum for people, for these left-hand path people we're talking about, for these, I shy away from the whole left-hand path identifier. These are free thinkers. These are individuals. These are intellectuals. These are people who are active in some way socially. They have different agendas. They have different interests. They have philosophical and theological questions and answers. They have points of view. They're sharing these points of views. They're testing these points of views and sparring back and forth. And they're sharing entertaining stuff too. They find bullshit on the internet. They put it on there and everything else. There's all kinds of stuff going on there. It's fun basically, but it's also can be very enlightening, very educating, or sometimes very shocking. What's going on at SatanicInternationalNetwork.com? So it's like Facebook, where everybody Facebook's going, look at me, look at what I did at the beach, look at my bikini, look at my game scores or whatever. It's Satanic International Network. It's look at me, look at me, look at me, look at what I'm thinking, look at what I'm doing, look at what, you know, this philosophy I'm considering. You know, it's, you are, you're still, you know, it's the people, you know, looking for attention or whatever, but they're looking for attention based on their intellect for the most part. And Satanic International Network, you can engage with this forum in so many different ways. There's, you know, there's a wall we can post. There's a news feed posting. There's blogs. There's a forum section. There's Tiny Chat. And, of course, there's Blog Talk Radio as well, the Ooze. And they are a sponsor. So check them out, www.satanicinternationalnetwork.com. It'll be worth your time to check that out. It's definitely entertaining, definitely interesting. And if you want to see kind of the cutting edge of where there's, you know, the thinking's going on here on the ground level, here on the street level, that's something you want to check out. The other sponsor, the other thing I wanted to talk about, of course, on the bottom of our hour is Creative Oddity Studios. The website is www.creativeoddistudios.com. And I want to speak for a moment to people who are interested in tattoos, people who are considering becoming tattoo artists themselves. We have a new section on Creative Oddity Studios. It's the Tattoo Studio. If you go to Creative Oddity Studios, click on the Enter button, and then it'll take you to the main page. And there on the left, you'll see a bunch of buttons. And I think the second or third one down is the Tattoo Studio. Click on that button, and what you'll find there is that we are offering a wide selection of equipment. This is some of the same stuff that I use in my tattoos as a professional tattoo artist. Needles, tubes, disposable, you know, all in sterilized gas packets, professional inks, Intense, Kirosumi, professional grade machines, power supplies, clip cords, the whole nine yards, everything you could possibly use as a tattoo artist. We're selling this equipment and selling these pieces of these items and everything else. We're selling them at a price that you couldn't get unless you were ordering them in bulk and you were in a shop. I'm being told right now that nobody can hear what I'm saying. Hang on a second. Okay, I'm still on the call, according to my phone. I don't know for sure. I'll have to go back and play the show to see if I'm just talking to myself right now and nobody can hear me or what's going on. But according to everything on my end, all the lights are green, basically. The Blog Talk Radio says I'm still on the phone, and my phone says I'm still on the phone. So somebody in the chat room mentioned that they can't hear me, so they're going to try to call in and listen. So I'll look for that call. But anyways, Creative Eye Studios. So we got this tattoo studio where if you're a budding tattoo artist or you're a tattoo artist that wants to get some stuff cheap, we have supplies. And what's different about the way we sell supplies is that here at Creative Eye Studios, I buy my supplies in bulk. I'm buying them, you know, 50 needles to a case or, you know, 50 tubes or whatever. I buy in bulk, basically. Since I'm buying in bulk, I'm able to, you know, of course, get everybody else a decent price. And this is something that was inspired by folks asking me, hey, man, do you have any way we could go ahead and, you know, get some stuff? Is there, you know, who do we order from? You know, where do you go to get your supplies? Most suppliers are closed to people who are not working in a tattoo shop or closed to people who have not already established that are a professional tattoo artist because you don't want some scratcher, you don't want some knucklehead that doesn't know what they're doing using your equipment to make that thing happen. You don't want to take that risk for your reputation and your own liability. So the Creative Eye Studios provide that equipment. So definitely, you know, check us out. That's for budding tattoo artists. Let's say you're just thinking about getting a tattoo. Let's say you just have questions about getting a tattoo or, you know, what's involved in the tattoo process, how to select a tattoo artist, that kind of thing. Well, we have a blog attached to that tattoo studio, so you can actually log into a blog where I've written several articles, and I'm adding to it all the time in regards to, you know, what to expect from getting a tattoo, what's right, what's wrong, as far as, you know, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, how to select a tattoo design, all kinds of things there, so check that out. We also have the option, let's say you have an idea for a design in mind, but as much as you search on Google, as much as you search these different tattoo shops, you look at a tattoo flash on the walls and everything else, you can't find the tattoo you're looking for. We offer commissioned tattoo designs. We sell tattoo flash. So if you you have a design in mind, you can describe it, but you haven't seen it yet. You haven't seen it drawn up. Well, we do offer that service as well. So if you're interested in having your tattoo designed, a custom design tattoo, you can take to your tattoo shop and to your tattoo artist, and they can make it into a tattoo. And this isn't just some kid who does artwork, you know, drawing a design based on your what your specifications are. This is a professional tattoo artist creating a design not only based on your specifications, but also with an understanding of what makes a good tattoo. So definitely check that out. Again, it's at www.creativelifestudios.com. Check that out. We also do a number of, I've got a number of blogs going. I just recently uploaded a blog on my horror movie review blog. It's the horror movie review of the movie Dead Girl. Watched that movie recently. Creepy zombie chick, or creepy zombie flick about a creepy zombie chick, let's put it that way, and some creepy, creepy dudes that find this, this dead girl strapped to a table, and they're, you know, teenage boys, and you can imagine what kind of thing goes on there. So if you go again to the website, www.creativelifestudios.com, click on the blog. You'll be taken to a blog. I think it's the Creative Life Studios blog, and there you'll find a link to the other blogs that I'm doing. You can check it all out. The Jason Sorrell Subdermal, where we talk about tattooing, Sorrell's Creep Show, horror films, What the Hell Was I Thinking, talks about social issues, The Calling Chaos, talks about cult, philosophical, theological issues, and Distorted Brainwaves is my adventures in regards to being a tattoo artist. So check all that out. So, okay, looking at our list. Good. The next topic is desperate to be relevant. And we were talking about some internet buffoonery that I see going on. There are a number of folks, and this is just how it's done. Okay, so I know this. You get on the internet and you want to be involved, you want to be engaged. So let's say you've done the thing, you've lurked, you've checked out different forums, you've kind of figured out who it is how you're gonna express yourself online, how you're gonna express yourself out to the world and everything else. And you go ahead and get into it, okay? Well, there's two ways to go. The one way is to express yourself by going, these are my ideas, and this is what I'm thinking, and this is what I got going on, this is what I'm doing, okay? Very slow, that method. Very tedious, very ponderous. You don't get a lot of attention doing that. And if you've got a message like that, you want to first build up a base. You want to first build up a group of people who are going to listen to your message, okay? So then what you do, if you don't have that option, option one is going slow, well, then option two is to find people with whom you have a disagreement with, whose ideas you disagree with, or, you know, people who are out there talking, expressing those ideas, but you find obvious flaws in their ideas, obvious holes in their ideas. Then you go after those people. Okay, we all do it. All right, even on mainstream, you know, radio, talk radio, you know, they're scouring the news. They're not scouring the news for things that they can talk about that will help society or make somebody's day better or whatever. They're looking for stuff that they can talk smack about. Okay, that's what goes on. So that's natural. That's all fine and good. And there are a number of people out there who have called me to task about things that I've said, you know, whether they were right or wrong. They're calling me to task, but also what they're doing is that they know that I have a little bit of a following, or friends of mine. This happens to friends of mine probably more frequently than me because they're a little bit bigger than I am as far as their internet footprint is concerned. They call them to task. You know, they make their video, they write their blog or whatever, calling out specifically person X. And they make sure that person X's name is linked and, you know, is a tag and everything else. So if you Google that person's name, their blog will come up, and that's the way they get traffic. And it's understandable. When you're just starting out, when you're trying to make a name for yourself, that's the way it goes. Okay? But, and I'm going to have a specific example here. When I have a specific example, I try not to name names because I try to call attention to the behavior and not the person specifically. Okay? And some interesting things have been going on with this one particular person. That might kind of give away his identity. I'll be talking about it a little bit because I thought it was a little hinky-winky. But anyways, we had a guy, or there's a guy, who has been rallying against my friend, Zach Schroeder of Satanic International Network, Jason King, T.C. Downey, and others. This guy has had no relevance to these people, okay, other than as an occasional joke. And anymore, when they make a comment about this guy, when they make a little sideline smirking offhand comment about this person, they don't even have to mention his name. And only the people who are aware of what was going down are even in on the joke, okay? So the guy is totally irrelevant to these people. But then this guy is still riding that dick, basically. He is still crying about, you know, how he was wronged and how, you know, these guys are, you know, assholes. They don't know what they're talking about, and they're idiots and everything else. And you see that a lot. You see a lot of these people that once they find that thing that got them some attention. And I said, like I said, it's natural. It's something that you need to do. But once they find that person that gets them some attention, once they find that thing that they know drives traffic their way, well, then they ride that motherfucker, okay? Even when it stops doing it, they always fall back on it because they're intellectually bankrupt because they have nothing going for them. They are irrelevant. They know they're irrelevant. So the only way they can hope to have any relevance, since they have no ideas, since they have nothing to talk about of themselves on their own, that's worth listening to, that nobody gives a shit about what they got going on, these people instead lash out after the same people over and over and over again. And more often than not, it's in the hopes that those people they're lashing out against will respond. Because when somebody like Zach Schroeder or Jason King or T.C. Downey or, you know, I guess you could even put myself in the dark pool, somebody like that responds. They respond publicly. They respond in a way that is entertaining. They respond in a way that gets you thinking and gets you hits, okay? They get people checking out their YouTube videos, people checking out their blogs. And what happens, of course, is that if you never heard of this guy and you're checking out, you know, Jason King's YouTube videos or you're checking out, you know, TC's blogs or whatever, or what he used to have, and I'll be talking a little bit about that here in a moment. When you're checking those things out and you see this guy's name, you're like, you man, this is hilarious. They're making this guy, he looks like a complete ass clown. I want to look at this guy. I want to see the freak, basically. So you go to his YouTube channel, you go to his website or whatever, and you check him out. You see what the hell is being talked about. So you can kind of go, oh, look, I'm that much more in on the joke. I understand now what's going on. And that gets these people traffic. It's like that one kid in the playground when we were in elementary school, that one kid, there's always one of them at least, that it doesn't matter, you know, how badly he's hit. It doesn't matter how badly you make fun of him. As long as he's getting attention, he doesn't care. He's going to keep coming up to these same kids and asking for it. Hit me so that I know that I exist. Validate me so that I know that I'm there, so that I know that I'm real. And you see that. Now, it's interesting because there's a love-hate relationship, especially with some of these people out there where, you know, the same people they run out and talk about, well, you know, they're participating in those forums because, you know, that's how they mine their material. That's how they get what they're talking about. Sometimes they make very valid points. Sometimes they're very positive in what they have to say about people and everything. But it's, you know, it's something that after when it's been years and years and years since the last real, you know, discussion occurred between you and the people you're talking about, since it's been years since the last time that you had any meaning whatsoever to the people that you're discussing, when you're still talking about those folks, when you're still using those folks as a source of relevancy, as a source of validation, it's a little pathetic. And again, the guy that I'm citing specifically, he's not the only one. There are a number of people who have done this. And again, I understand that when you're just starting out, when you're just trying to build up a little traffic or whatever, well, it's either talk about your own ideas and hope people pay attention or talk about other people's ideas so that you can, you know, tag their name and everything else to make sure you get a little bit of attention. We've all done it. But like when it's going on for years, when you are no longer a thought in these people's heads and you're still talking about them, you're latching on the wrong thing. It just suggests, again, that you're intellectually bankrupt, that you have no message of your own to speak of. So, that's my bit on the irrelevance, the internet buffoonery, basically. And we got about, let's see here, we got about 15 minutes left. You want to call in, the number is 347-989-1371. You want to talk about any of these things. You want to talk about the 12-21-12 LHP Awareness Day or whatever. You want to talk about the value structure discussion about, you know, the different people establishing values for you. If you want to talk about this desperate to be relevant thing, you got an opinion one way or another. That's cool. The number is 347-989-1371. While we're waiting on waiting to go on to the next topic, I don't know if I want to dig into the next one right now because it's net neutrality, and I kind of want to hold off on that until next week. I kind of want to lead with that next week. We got media bias, talking about media bias. Is it, does it exist? Does it not exist? How does it exist? What form does it take? We got political censorship also coming up. And political censorship, what I mean by that is that politicians who are out there saying that, you know, if you're talking about this particular political party or this particular person, you can say they're an asshole, okay? But if you talk about this, these people from this political party or this particular politician, well, then if you call this guy an asshole or this woman an asshole, well, then that's off limits, basically. You cross the line. It's an interesting phenomenon. It's kind of, you know, it's some funny, interesting stuff and as a person who watches politics and that goes on. So I think I'm going to save all that for the next show. And I think I'll just ramble on a little bit here for the last 10 minutes or so about what we've already discussed tonight. The left-hand path banner, the left-hand path gathering or awareness day. Again, it's you know, we got this guy out there. He's calling for all these different people, all these different groups, people who, again, I don't know if they identify themselves as left-hand path people or not. For all of them to get together or all of them to do something on December 21st, 2012 and make a big deal about it, about just, you know, hey, we identify with the left-hand path and we're going to be making noise about it on this particular day. It doesn't make any sense to me, and I think I've expressed that, you know, here on the show and in my little video and everything else. You know, I discuss basically why I find that odd. And it's always interesting, these people that that come forward and want to see this kind of unification of different people, want to see this unification of the movement as a whole, or as the majority of the movement in one direction. Especially amongst people who tend to avoid or eschew being labeled, being in a group, being pegged or beholden to some sort of organizational idea. It's not that groupthink doesn't occur within the left-hand path. It's not that, you know, there isn't the urge to be a member of something, to be involved in something, to organize to some extent. But when you start talking about some sort of blanket effort where the whole should be involved, that's a little bit harder to do. It's a little bit harder to get people to agree to. And, you know, part of it, I think, is because these people have done so much to reject those very things in society. They try to leave those things behind them. Even though the urge, I mean, I think it's an inherent urge that we have as human beings to organize, to gather together, to group, to be involved in each other's lives. So the whole individualism trip, it's not easy to pull off. It's not easy to pull off and be either, you know, serious about it, you know, hardcore about it, or it takes some actual interaction. It takes some organization for you to have more options as an individual. It requires a group effort. But what this guy's talking about, you know, just saying, you know, hey, we're out here and pay attention to us and respect us. Like I said, it's when you go to other people and say, here we are, and I want you to treat me like an equal. I want you to give me some respect because, look, we exist and we deserve it, but you're not doing anything to deserve it. You haven't proven anything to deserve it other than there's a number of you, okay, other than you represent a significant minority. And I don't know that, you know, these people are going to pull that together, that they're going to pull that off, a convincing significant minority. Other than that, though, when you're going to, like I said, somebody else's table and begging for scraps, when you have to go to somebody else's table and play their game and go, give us equality, give us respect, based on their terms, based on, you know, what they consider equality, what they consider respect, that you want to put your chair up to that table, that I don't see how that has really anything to do with some of the ideals of the people in the left-hand path. Now, this guy's swath, this guy's the group of people he was expressing as being, you know, left-hand path type people, again, much broader than mine, okay? So he might have a connection to a different sort or different type of people who call themselves left-hand path than I do. But, you know, still, why play that game? Why me want a chair at the table with the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims and all these other religions that are accepted by society if you're a member of the left-hand path and acceptability is not something that you necessarily value? Which, you know, I know that even that inherently is flawed, that these, you know, people, as part of their, you know, human nature, they want acceptability in some form or another. I just don't see these people as being the people you go to get it. That part of it doesn't make sense to me. And again, as I mentioned, we're talking about Christians, we're talking about Jews, we're talking about Muslims. These people in their history, as you know, as religions, have not exactly shown that they're in favor of validating or respecting other people's religions. You have a different idea about what the Christian faith means and what the teachings of Jesus were. If you have a different interpretation than the people around you, well, they're going to come after you. They're going to hound you about it. So if they can't get the shit together in their own house, how you're going to get these people to treat you like an equal or treat you with respect when you call yourself a Satanist, you call yourself a witch, you call yourself a pagan or heathen or whatever, it just doesn't hold a lot of water with me. So the number again, 347-989-1371. The other topic, I guess, because the value structure thing is pretty dry, I think, but the desperate to be relevant, internet buffoonery and why I try not to be engaged in it anymore, I guess I should talk about that, why I try to avoid it. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. It is fun, especially when you do have the upper hand as an intellectual, when you do have the upper hand, you know, as you have a way with words, you have the gift of gab, when you're able to make some humorous points at somebody else's expense. It's fun. It's, you know, it's what you do, okay? And again, especially when you're just starting out, when you're trying to establish your internet footprint, going solely on your own ideas, going solely on your own expression, it's slow, it's tedious, it's ponderous. You put out the most brilliant idea that, you know, you think this is, you know, this is better than fucking this hot new thing, and you put that idea out there. When you're talking about ideology, you're talking about philosophy, so, you know, it's not a product. You put it out there, you express yourself, and nobody listens. Why does nobody listen? Because, you know what, people aren't interested in watching when things go right. People aren't interested in seeing when something, you know, works, you know. Oh, that's a good idea, real good. You know, no, they want to see a train wreck. They want to see a car crash. They want to see a fight. They want to see that debate. They want to hear that sarcasm. They want to, you know, they want to see that funny shit going on. These two people duking it out, two idiots on the internet. You know, internet heavyweights. You know, it's like I guess, I don't know, it would be like if they had if they had wrestling matches at the Special Olympics, which they may have. I don't know. I don't watch the Special Olympics, but they have wrestling matches at the Special Olympics. That's the kind of thing you watch on the internet when you watch two internet personalities go at it against each other. But it happens, and it works out in many ways for both parties involved, especially if both parties have a significant audience. If both parties have a significant audience, well, then when they go at it, it creates this exchange of people. The people on one side check out the people on the other side. The people on the other side check out, and everything else. Hits go up. Your presence on Google goes up, all that. So it always tends to work out to your benefit. But I'm trying not to engage in that. I know I do to an extent. I mean, I just did this fucking video where I called out this guy, you know. Like I said, it was just because I disagreed with his ideas. I thought that there should be more there, and mainly because he dropped, or one of his cronies dropped the link in my inbox on Ego Diablo 666. So When I saw it in my inbox, you know, and it didn't check out the video, it's like, okay, well, they want my attention, so I gave it to them. So that's how all that went. Generally, I try to avoid it. Generally, it's just about, you know, my ideas. Because, you know what, if I only talk to 5 or 6 people, if I'm only engaged in a conversation with, you know, with 6 people, a handful of people, then these people are, they consider my ideas relevant and worthwhile. They consider those things worthy of discussion, worthy of consideration. And they have input that they're going to provide that's worthy of my consideration. Well, I don't need 50,000 people watching my channel. I don't need 50,000 people listening to this radio show. I don't need 50,000 people watching my blog. It's nice. It's gratifying. But it's not necessary. It doesn't serve my actual goal. It doesn't actually serve my agenda. What serves my agenda is further separation from the system between myself and the value structures I was talking about earlier in the show, and just pursuing my bliss, basically, being more content with my life. And I'm not going to let my contentment be based on the number of people who check out my YouTube channel. So that's why I tend to avoid the whole thing now. But again, I did it hot and heavy last year, as a matter of fact, probably. You go back to that EODiopolis 666 channel, I looked for people to lay into, so I was, I did it, everybody does it. Where it becomes an issue, where it becomes kind of weird is when you did it, let's say, 2 years ago, or you were engaged in it, 5 years ago. And part of your thing is you say, these people don't matter to me. These people I'm talking about, they're talking shit about me, they don't fucking matter to me. I'm not even paying attention to them. I could give a shit what these people think. I don't care. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what they're thinking. I'm not interested. They can talk all the smack about me what I want. I don't care. When you say those kinds of things, and then years later, you're still talking about them, years later when you go, and I have my detractors, there's this guy, that guy, and that guy. When you say that again, all you're doing is just remind you, it's milking that, that dried up cow, basically. You keep going for the same punch, basically, hoping that, you'll pull some of their audience when they're not paying attention to you anymore. Those guys aren't discussing you anymore. You're no longer relevant, and you're just desperate for validation. You're desperate for some sense of meaning, and it's addictive. You got hooked on the whole, I mean something because I was able to irritate that guy. I mean something because I was able to make them respond. It suggests that you're intellectually bankrupt when you don't have your own ideas to express, when you don't have your own things going on, and it's just about tearing other people down. It's just about, talking shit about other people who hurt you once. You obviously hurt. You have at it. That's what you got to do to be happy. Have at it. But it just says you're lacking, at least as far as being worthy of my attention. It doesn't cut the mustard, basically. So, anyways, we got about 2 minutes left. I wanted to mention real quick at the end of the show here, eminentmind.info, http://eminentmind.info, no www dot. Check out that blog. This is what TC Downey has going on, and I'm a participant, and hopefully other people will be participants soon as well. It's the exploration of the concept of the sly man. Kind of idea, but applied through kind of that Satanist lens, through that self-indulgent, self-responsible lens. Taking a lot of what G.I. Gurdjieff had to say about individual pursuits and evolution, and applying it in many ways the way Gurdjieff intended it to be applied, because he talked about how the altruism it only works for people who are want you to be best at what they're doing. If they don't want your attention, if they don't care, well, then it's not worth the effort. So a lot there about personal evolution. It's a strategy blog. It's a place to express ideas about what you think might be worth pursuing, the framework of perspective in regards to how things are done, value systems and social political structures and the economy and philosophy and metaphysics and things like that. So it's a lot of heavy stuff, deeply layered blog, and I would recommend everybody check that out. Again, eminentmind.info. That's where you see TC doing his stuff. The fearofthebeast.com, I think, has gone away. So definitely check that out if you have a chance. So we got 15 seconds left. That's the show. We're going to go ahead and roll the outro. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but it's your discretion to come along. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?